Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
The gift of life. Man, I'm seeing babies everywhere I turn. I had the opportunity just last evening to visit one of my good friends, Richard and Raina. They just had a baby girl, Rayleigh Reyes. Welcome to the world. And she was so cute. There's something about these babies. I mean, just adorable.
Make you want to have another one?
Well, hey, you know, if it was easy for me, now my wife now, you know, I love them. I've got no problem. I'd have to, you know, if I could, mm-hmm. if I was physically able to, Pat, mm-hmm. I would, but I can't. We know that. It's physically impossible, but I do love them. I enjoy having children around and watching them grow and develop and all those wonderful, beautiful things. But we're going to be talking about the true cost of raising babies today and what's the cost associated with that, because you're going to be surprised of there's a financial cost and there's other costs as well. But we're going to mm-hmm. be getting to that. But actually, you know what? Let's get to that now, because we're going to be sharing some other things regarding what's happening in Syria and as well as some things that are happening in the news. But, you know, I was over there at seeing the baby at the hospital. And, you know, now, and I forgot, I thought this was just happening in New Jersey. But apparently this is something that's happening in a lot of hospitals today. Man, did you know that they've put an alarm, like an alarm tag on the child, okay? Uh-huh. And if uh-huh. the child leaves the baby ward, not even just the hospital, like if uh-huh. it leaves the area, that thing goes off. I'm like, man, they got everything.
Yeah, they call it like a code pink or code purple. I was definitely aware of that, because I remember when we were there when Isaac was born. It's like any time that the baby was brought in, it's like they verified the band on the mom, the band on the child, and they're very aware of that, which is good.
Yeah, I've had that trip several times, and I remember that with my last child being born, but I didn't realize that that's something that's being done all the way across the board. You know, mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool, but you know, they give you the father of the child a band with the name of the child, mm-hmm. the mother has the band, and the child has a band, all three of them. When they tell you that, you know, obviously, if anyone comes in to get your baby, they need to check for your bands, and you need to check their bands to mm-hmm. find out who they are. And I remember one night I was just, you know, knocked out in the room. And somebody comes in and gets ready to wheel the baby out. And I go, ho, wait. Let me check your band. She says, well, I didn't want to wake you. I said, oh, that's okay. You can wake me. You can wake me. But I want to verify that band, you know. And it's good to be just watchful. And we got great facilities and all those different type of things. But it's just amazing when you see a precious little baby be born and you're like, wow, the miracle of life, that... Mm-hmm. That baby literally came out of that womb, and it's so amazing when you really think about that in a little less 9 to 10 months, a living human being emerged.
Yeah.
I mean, it emerged. And we don't say that lightly. We know there was some pain involved in the emerging, but the baby emerged. Did you know that just 18 days after a baby is conceived in the womb, it has a heartbeat? And then now there's legislation and law being passed that says, hey, once they're able to recognize a heartbeat, that they're trying to put, you know, abortion laws past that, you know, say, listen, can't have it, you know, after 18 days, which is pretty aggressive. It's pretty awesome.
That would be great.
Some of those laws are getting ready to get, you know, passed. And so we're seeing some really awesome things in that regard. But while I was there visiting with my friends and had a chance to pray for Rayleigh, which was awesome, and to see her brother and some of the just other family members. And it was just a great, beautiful time. I got to thinking about, you know, a lot of the other babies that I'm seeing. We're seeing babies at the Dream Center. We're seeing babies everywhere. Which is great. There's so much life and vitality. It just reminds us it's just the amazing. When I look at a baby, I just say the hand of God. I just mm-hmm. say, Lord, you're just so amazingly beautiful, and thank you for life. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, you know, a newborn baby brings a whole lot of change to a family. I mean, there's many joyous and wonderful, cute moments of which, you know, I've tried personally, Pat, to catch all with a camera. I mean,
Yeah.
To the point that now my children don't want to be on camera, but that's okay. I want to capture the moment.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, there is a humorous moment of me taking.
Dad, I'm going to the bathroom now. Could you stop?
Yeah. You know, I want to cherish the moment. I want to cherish the moment. Several years ago, we're in Destin, and we're on a pontoon boat, and they're getting off the, you know, getting out of the boat, and I got my camera out, this nice, expensive Sony digital camera that I really just bought, okay? Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, I'm on the edge of the pontoon, and I'm like, move over. And I'm getting everyone together, and all of a sudden, yes, it happened. I slipped off the boat.
You slipped?
I slipped. I guess it was like water, you know, boat. I was on the edge, I guess a platform, whatever you call it. I was at the edge of it.
Were you driving it?
No, we were parked. We were docked, you know, the whole nine yards. I didn't expect the boat to be, you know, rocking as much as it did. At least I wasn't paying attention. And man, boom, out goes my legs. The camera's up in the sky, and I'm trying to keep it from going, you know, getting wet. Of course, it was a futile attempt. And, you know, salt water totally destroys.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Destroys a camera. So, yes, my camera was destroyed on my vacation, but I will have you to know, I was quickly able to replace it with an underground water camera, and I continued to take pictures. Underwater camera. Thank you for catching that. Those are new cameras too.
Those are new cameras.
Those are new cameras too.
Is that a Google camera?
The underground water.
Well, it happened. I was able to get another camera to take these pictures, but we get these pictures and yeah, have all these awesome remember whens, and the babies, they change and develop and they grow so rapidly. It's like, oh my goodness, look at this. You know, you're changing. But with all of that, great and wonderful moments, there is a real cost with having a baby, okay? And if you've had a child, you certainly know what to expect. But according to What to Expect, it's a website that quotes the U.S. government, and the U.S. government estimates that middle-income parents of infants born today will spend at least $242,000 American dollars for each child to raise these babies up until they're age 18.
How much?
$242,000.
That's all?
Well, the last figures
I heard was in the millions, but yeah.
Well, I'm not sure about the millions. But I will tell you this, that does not include college and everything else after 18.
Does that include groceries?
I don't know. They haven't seen my grocery budget with my teenage boys, you know, but they'll eat you out of house and home for real. So there's a real value. There's a real tangible dollar associated with, you know, raising children. It just costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you start talking about all the little things that babies need. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about some of the true costs of having babies.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to unpack this because you're going to be surprised at some of the things that it leads to and some of the prices that we have been willing and some of the prices that we have not been willing to pay. We were talking about the cost of raising babies and children. And, of course, they're wonderful and amazing. And we look at babies and say, God, you know, we love you. You are the author of life. And only you can engineer such amazing perfection. When you look at a body and you understand how amazingly you were created, I understand how David said, you know, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and my soul knows well. Because David understood that, my goodness, we are an amazing creation, and the creation points to an amazing creator. Mm. When you look at life and you realize, oh my goodness, these eyeballs, how far can they see? Natural vision? When you look at your fingerprints, each person, all 7 billion people around the world have different fingerprints. That's 7 billion different identifiable marks. And that's who are living today. But imagine all the people that have lived forever, you know, before time and, you know, now. Mm-hmm. Think about that. When you think about the detail of an eyelash that, no, ladies, it's not for curling and putting on makeup, but believe that God in his infinite wisdom and genius design created an eyelash to literally protect your eyeball and to catch it from any particle that would cause your eye damage instinctively. Mm-hmm. Your eyes know to shudder and to let, you know, that your eyelashes provide a safeguard so that nothing gets in your eye. When you think about how your heart functions and it pumps, I believe, over 2,000 gallons of blood through your body, I think an hour. But it's amazing. And then all your veins that go through your entire body. And when you think about your lungs, your ability to breathe, it's like, God, you're amazing. We eat food. It goes to our digestive systems, extracts the waste from the nutrients. And it's like, you're amazing. Mm-hmm. You're amazing. Nothing in your body is insignificant. Not even your pinky toe. Go ahead and jam it in the corner. When you're walking, you'll find out it hurts.
Yeah, right.
And your thumb, your toes help you to keep balance. Your thumb helps you to hold and grasp things. And you realize, you know, throughout life, the more you live and the more you start, you know, experiencing aches and pains, you start realizing, man, this body is amazing. Mm-hmm. It's held up. Mm-hmm. You don't realize how important your back is until you're not able to sit down, lie down, yeah, or do anything. It's like, my entire body is connected to my back. I had no idea. Every function that I do is affected with my back. And so when we look at this genius design, it points to a genius God, a God that's so wonderful that he created us that way. And babies help us and remind us to do that. But as the babies grow and develop, you know, they automatically not only come with wonderful, cute moments, Pat, and adorable picture moments, but they come with something special too. They come with a price tag. They come with some real costs that we have to identify, you know, with, you know, the cost of a child. And right now, while I was there visiting my friends, you know, they were telling me that in Brazil, that children are not, women are not giving birth naturally. A lot of them are having C-sections. And that's like a high percentage of births right now are coming through C-sections, children being born. And they're saying it's because the healthcare, because everyone has it in Brazil. Only the very rich have a healthcare system that's like the U.S., United States healthcare system to date, right now, like, you know, before everything, you know, it has been changing. And because the doctors want to be able to schedule a more convenient way and a more cost-effective way and an easier way to deliver a baby, they'll just cut them open, have the C-section, and have the baby, and that's it. And so you can do 10 of those in one day as opposed to waiting for the timing of God.
Right.
That says now, this day, they jump the gun and are able to do that. And as well, some of the women are wanting that as well too. They don't want to experience the pain of birthing. And, you know, that's a whole other thing, you know, concept in itself right there. Mm-hmm. But also they want to kind of get in and get out. And you're seeing, they were telling me that there was a wave of that happening in the United States where they're wanting to do that as well. So you think about it, man, all this stuff, you know, involving babies. Did you know that statistics are, they're quoting that to get a nursery furniture associated, that can cost how much? You have car seats and strollers. Let's not forget formula.
Diapers.
Diapers. I mean, you want to bless somebody? I know you want to get them the onesie and you want to get them the little hat, you know, for the baby shower that they're only going to wear for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to bless somebody, get them a package of diapers. I know it doesn't look pretty at the baby shower. I know it doesn't look all cute, but believe me,
priceless.
If you want to bless that new couple with a baby, go ahead and get them a box of diapers and believe me, they will love you for it. But we're talking about the cost. And, you know, when you're paying these prices, I mean, it's okay. You understand that that's part of life. This is your child. This is what the child needs. But then, you know, when the child grows up, you have childcare that's associated. Of course, then there's sports, uniforms, camps, clothes, iPods, gaming systems, braces, vacations, sneakers. I remember having one pair.
What's a sneaker?
Sneakers, you know, tennis shoes, sneakers.
Oh, tennis shoes. Okay.
Okay. You never heard of sneakers before?
No. That must be a northern thing.
Yeah, we gotta help you. What do they wear in the South? Educate me.
Flip flops, shoes.
Shoes. Shoes. Okay. Sporting shoes and
tennis shoes.
Tennis shoes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
No sneaking going on around
here. No sneaking. Okay. Yes, we will forgive them in the North and the rest of the country. We'll just bypass that. Sneakers or tennis shoes or any kind of shoes that you wear. But I remember having one pair. You know, you wore that one pair everywhere you went.
When I was growing up, Bobos.
Yeah, hey.
Remember those?
Oh, yeah. And now these young people is like 3, 4, 5, 6. They're like, how many pairs of shoes do you need? How many? Mm-hmm. It's just different in today's society. And you look at this stuff and you say, okay, this is interesting. This is interesting. And the older they get, I mean, they just require more. I mean, you know, feeding a teenage boy is a whole lot different than feeding, you know, a toddler. These teenage boys, they eat a whole lot. Teenagers in general, they just eat a lot. But truly, the high cost that you'll have to pay when parenting, when you really, you know, get the spreadsheet out and you get the calculator and you get everything out, the highest cost that you're going to pay in parenting, it's going to be you. You're the highest cost, because in this equation, it's going to require everything you have, more than expenses. You know, the real concern that some people have is you know, they try to keep their money. That's why they are not trying to have babies. You know, say, well, it's too expensive, can't afford it. But the biggest reason why people don't want to have children today is because it interferes with their lives. You know, they're not willing to sacrifice themselves, not even for their own children. And we look at that and say, yeah, that's very true, that's very real. But what about the church? You know, what are we seeing? You know, where are the spiritual mothers? Where are the spiritual fathers? Where are the spiritual babies? You know, are we still winning people to the Lord? And are there new births in the kingdom of God? You know, when babies come, they make demands. I mean, feed me now. You know what I'm saying? Feed me. They must be fed and they must be cleaned. Believe me, they must be cleaned. Okay? And it's maybe one of the reasons, and I'm just asking here, just asking the question, but it's maybe one of the reasons, you know, at large, maybe. Not everywhere, right? Not amongst the entire church, but maybe, you know, let's talk about it, that we're not seeing maybe an emphasis on soul winning and leading people to Jesus is because it takes work, real work, to raise spiritual babies. 1 Peter 2:13 says that, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit and hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. And then he says in verse 2, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted the Lord and he is good. See, new babies in God, they need to grow up in their salvation. They need to be fed. They need to be given milk of the word. And the government structure for the family is church. We must see the value of family in the church. Again, I mean, he is God, our Father, you know, and we are his children. And, you know, Hebrews goes on to say in chapter 5 that, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God, of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have been trained to distinguish from good and evil. Listen, we got to get back to feeding our babies, spiritual babies in the Lord. We have to get back to
discipleship
and raising them up and making sure that we're willing to pay the cost in the church. Just like natural parents have to pay the cost in raising their children, finances and giving up of themselves, we need to do the same thing in the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus said, will you feed my sheep? Will you take care of them? Will you deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me? We have the greatest opportunity to deny ourselves and pour ourselves out in the lives of others, that we may raise up spiritual children, sons and daughters, that will advance the kingdom of God. Let's do it together. We were talking about, and we're going to continue our conversation about, you know, the cost of raising babies, but not just natural babies, spiritual babies as well. And there is a serious cost in raising children. I mean, we've identified that, and we talked about that, not just monetarily, because U.S. estimates are saying now, the government saying that about $242,000 per child now, per child, from the time they're a baby to the time of 18, you know, not including college and all the other things that, you know, this is not weddings or anything else that happens after 18. You know, they don't stop being your child, by the way. After 18, it doesn't stop. I mean, they're not maybe, you know, you still may have to help them out. You know, it's all part of life, you know. And we talked about that, although there is, you know, it apparently seems like, you know, cost a whole lot, and there is, you know, serious cost involved. The highest cost is the cost of yourself, because it requires everything to be a parent. And that's why many people have not decided not to bring children into the world. They just decided that their life is more important, their time is more important, and they don't want to share their money. They want to keep the money to themselves. I mean,
yeah, we knew people that were like that for a long time. I mean, with many years. And we're honest about it. I mean, just straight up, we'll tell you.
What'd he say?
You know, I'm just too selfish right now in my life. I don't want that.
Isn't that wild?
We were like, what's our mouth hanging?
Really?
Okay. All right.
Okay. Okay. Interesting.
Scripture doesn't mean anything. You know, yeah. Godly offspring, that just no, doesn't register. No.
No. Doesn't ring a bell, nothing, you know. So when you look at them, it's like, okay, you know, there's a cost. And we're reading about in Hebrews that, you know, spiritual babies, they need spiritual milk. They this is what they need so that they can grow and develop and grow up to be more mature, where they can actually have solid food. And that chapter, by the way, chapters were put into the Bible, you know, after it was translated. They didn't write, you know, chapter one, chapter two. But if you read the end of Hebrews 5 and carry on into Hebrews 6, the author continues to write about, therefore, let us move beyond elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God and instruction about cleansing rites and the laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, and God permitting, you know, we will do so. Hello. He called those elementary teachings, which means this is discipleship. This is raising up godly offspring, if you will. But here's the deal. Here's the kicker. Before we can begin to disciple, Steve, we need to have true spiritual babies.
Yeah. We ourselves have to get discipled.
Yeah. You need to be discipled, but we need true spiritual babies to disciple those who've had a true born again experience. I mean, it's just like a baby, a natural baby. When a baby is born, a healthy byproduct of I don't know, being alive, is that you
grow up,
but you also get hungry.
Right.
Hunger is a natural byproduct of being born. And guess what? The same thing is true in the spiritual realm, that a natural byproduct of being having a genuine born-again experience is that you become spiritually hungry.
Yeah.
I know that was true of my experience, and I knew this is true of the experience of many, many new believers that I have met. People that didn't even know how to read, couldn't read, wouldn't read.
Yeah.
As soon as they gave their life to the Lord, couldn't get them out the Bible, reading the Bible, devouring every help, every booklet, just losing themselves in the words of Jesus because they were so spiritually hungry to know God. It's a byproduct. And the thing is that we can't even begin to start talking about discipleship until we really start talking about, okay, do we have spiritual babes? Yeah. Has there genuinely been a true born-again experience here? Mm-hmm. Because the byproduct is that you're hungry. You're hungry. Absolutely. And so now if you're hungry, now we can give milk.
Right.
We can talk about elementary teachings. And there's something about hungry people. I'll never forget what Heidi Baker said of Iris Ministries. She has orphans that she ministers to in Mozambique in a ministry there. She says something about orphans and hungry children. Hungry people get fed.
Amen.
When it's time to serve the food, they make sure that they get something to eat. Try ignoring a baby who's hungry. Yeah, your ears will bleed a little bit. And then you'll rush real quickly, make sure that they have something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So we must remember that Jesus told us to make disciples and not converts.
You know, when you say that scripture, that's always jumped out at me, and just how significant, and we've got away from that elementary teaching, like he says, the laying on of hands, the raising of the dead, and elementary teachings, and it's just like, the raising of the dead was considered elementary. The laying on of hands, elementary. And that's where I just got to thinking, it's just like, where we've gotten presently now, it's just like, where is that? We've gotten away from that discipleship. We've gotten away from that, like you said, raising children. And the analogy that I've always pictured, it's really made a lot of sense trying to make that known to others. And it's just like, imagine walking into a restaurant and you've got, you know, it's bustling full of people, and everybody's in high chairs. You got adults, you got teenagers, you got kids, everybody's in high chairs, and it's just like, nobody can feed themselves. And it's just like, we would walk into that environment and say, okay, something is wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just like, if we're in that same place, and it's just like, we've got to be able to feed ourselves. We got to, you know, go through that process of growing up in Christ, mm-hmm. to go from the spiritual milk to the solid food.
Right.
And it's just like, if we haven't, if we're still on solid milk and we're 30, 40, 50 years old, and it's just like, okay, well, what happened?
Yeah.
We've got to have that discipleship.
Absolutely. You got to have that discipleship. You have to be in a place, because this is what Jesus said. Jesus didn't say, go make converts. He said, go make disciples.
Mm, that's
right. Byproduct, a natural, you know, a true convert is evident when they become a disciple. That's the evidence. They're a disciple. And disciple, what does that mean? It means a follower of Jesus. What does that mean? That means you follow what Jesus has done. And mm-hmm. what he is telling you today, because Jesus is still alive. You know, he's sitting at the right hand in the throne of God. And if you're a believer, God lives inside of you. And he desires to speak to you, and his sheep hear his voice, John 10. Right? And mm-hmm. so, you know, we can begin to start disciple folks. But at the same token, you know, spiritual parenting is something that is greatly needed today in the church. You know, spiritual mothers and fathers, and it takes incredible effort to be able to be a spiritual parent. If you're blessed to have one in your life, thank God for them, because it takes just the same amount of effort it takes to raise, you know, natural children. Maybe even more so, it takes to raise spiritual children at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul said he would, you know, in tears he would warn them, he would carry them, and mm-hmm. and you know. This is what the Word of God says. This is what Paul wrote. He said, I am writing this day not to shame you, but to warn you as my dear children. Even if you had 10,000 teachers, or another translation says, guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. And he makes a distinction between guardians, teachers, and the father. Don't get it twisted. They're not the same. You know, a guardian is one that just maybe watches over you. Maybe they're a hired guardian. But they're not a father. Right? Mm-hmm. A father mm-hmm. is different.
Mm-hmm.
A spiritual father is different. Is one who raises you up and helps you to mature in the things of God. A spiritual mother is there to help you to grow and to get past different areas of your life. You will have relationship. You walk with each other, and you grow in the things of God, your own personal character and development, and you grow into servanthood, where you can now are not just on the receiving end, but now you've grown to the place where you now are a giver, and you're not so much, you know, it's not about you getting, but it's about you pouring out what's been poured into you.
Amen.
You've been raised up. And that's what we need. We need spiritual fathers and mothers all throughout the kingdom of God that are pouring themselves out into the next generation. I mean, many people are talking about some of the wonderful heroes of the faith that have just recently have just passed away. And we look at their lives and their ministries and the impact, and truly they would be missed. But we also need to look upon the next generation with hope and encouragement if we're seeing discipleship being made, if we're seeing spiritual fathers and mothers being, you know, pouring themselves out and raising the next generation. We don't need more guardians. I think we have plenty of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we need are spiritual fathers and mothers. In verse 16, Paul continues to say, therefore, I urge you to imitate me. I urge you to imitate me. See, a father goes before and says, I'm going to show you the ways of Christ. I'm going to show you through my life. I'm going to allow you to get close enough to me that I'm not just going to share with you the gospel, but I'm going to share with you my life. And that's biblical. And I think that it's incredibly hard, nearly impossible. It is impossible to disciple anybody from a pulpit, from a stage.
Right. No.
This is something that requires relationship. And that's what we have in God. We are a spiritual family. And the structure of the church, the government of the church is family. And so when we begin to put an emphasis again on what God told us to do, Jesus told us to go raise disciples,
mm-hmm.
we're going to see that, yes, we can do it. Yeah, we got to count the cost. Sure, it's going to cost you everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, it's going to cost you time for yourself. Sure, it's going to cost you, you name it. But that's the treasure. That's mm-hmm. the pleasure in God mm-hmm. to be able to pour yourself out, you know, on behalf of the Lord and pour yourself into someone else. But in order to have a spiritual parent, you know, it will require you to feed. It will require you to clean. Okay, there are those things that are associated as well with raising spiritual children up. The other thing is that you got to have spiritual children, and it goes, you know, as you're raising up children, you'll realize that, you know, if you're new in this process, the younger the children are, the more dependent they are upon you for feeding, clothing, everything else. But as they get older, they have to make a conscientious choice now whether they're going to receive the instruction and the guidance of their parents. I mean, there's a conscientious choice where they have to choose to say, yeah, I am going to follow. That's part of growing up. And there comes a point as well in your spiritual walk where you say, listen, I want to become a spiritual son or daughter. I want someone to speak into my life and to help me so that I can fulfill all that God would have me to do. It goes kind of hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
And together, when those two come together, my goodness, it's something that's dynamic
mm-hmm.
and beautiful and godly, and it proves to be quite fruitful. But this is our call.
Mm-hmm.
This is our call mm-hmm. to raise spiritual families.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus said, he says, unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross mm-hmm. and follow me, you can mm-hmm. have no part of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? You know, you denying yourself means you're gonna have to lay down your own personal wants and desires and look to help others raise them up.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about us.
And that's where the true joy is. Like when you really, and I think about those times when you're able to speak to others, you're able to share those moments, you know, all the many conversations that we've had. And it really just makes me think about, you're doing it for that next generation. You're doing it because you want them to grow in Christ. You want them to encounter Jesus, to see Jesus, to hear him the way God is speaking to you. And I think about the fact that it's just like we grow the way that we are because of what we've learned from those who've poured into us. But to me, I think about what is even more of a joy is when you think about that they got it. They understood. Mm-hmm. They heard. They, you know, they connected the dots. That was God. Or it's just like the timing of things happens quicker. It's like they learn faster. And it's just like you're watching God move in their lives. And it's that much more of a joy when you see that next generation hearing and responding.
Absolutely. We need men and women of God. They're going to stand for truth.
Mm.
They're going to stand for biblical family. It's going to stand for the sheep. You're not, you didn't get another word and decided you're going to go somewhere else and pass. It's like, wait a minute. These are God's children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've been entrusted with the church. What are we going to do in this hour? Are we going to look for our own self-interest, mm-hmm. or are we going to look for the interest of the kingdom? Mm-hmm. And let me tell you something. You can't see your kingdom and God's kingdom at the same time. It's just not going to happen. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to crash and burn. The mm-hmm. only kingdom for us to be seeking and the only kingdom for us to be advancing, that's the Father's kingdom. And when we're all working in the Father's vineyard, all understanding that we all have a role to play and we're all doing this for God, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing how beautiful it works. Listen, to this we were called to raise disciples, spiritual children, and to advance the kingdom of God. Not by borders. No, we advance the kingdom of God when new believers come into the kingdom. They receive salvation. They receive Jesus as Lord, and the kingdom of God is birthed inside of them. Let's fulfill the great commandment and the great commission together.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.